Hey there, this is Justin Nasiri with Beyond the Uniform. Here with a Behind the Beyond the Uniform episode. If you are new to Beyond the Uniform, this is a bit of an anomaly on Saturdays. Generally just taking time to share some admin items, some thoughts on professional life, some thoughts on personal life in a very informal format. I try to use what I'm calling a mullet format for the show, business up front, party in the back. So I'll cover the items that are more relevant to one's professional life up front. And then if you want to stick around, we'll talk about just more random topics about life, the universe, everything. Our normal format is on Mondays and Thursdays, where I interview a military veteran about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans seeking to do the same. So check those out if you're new. That's kind of our bread and butter, and this is a little bit new. So I have mostly business up front today. One admin point, one, two, three, four, 5 points on profession, and then one on personal life. And I'll try to be as quick as possible because I got shit to do right now. The quick admin item is a reminder next week. I can't believe it's already here. Next week, June 19th, Wednesday, at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, we are doing our first panel in over a year. It's going to be a panel with the company Amgen. They have three or four different team members who are coming on to do a panel where I'll do a Q&A similar to what we do on the show in normal interviews for about 30, 45 minutes, and then we'll open it up to questions for the group. It's a great opportunity, first of all, to see and learn more about biotech, about the medical services industry. There's a lot of information there. There's a lot of information about the transition and different perspectives from different veterans. It's rare that we have three or four people on the show simultaneously, so that's a really nice way to tease out trends and differences and get fresh vantage points on similar topics. But it's also a great opportunity. The thing I'm most excited about is it's going to be by a Zoom video conference, which means that if you'd like, you can turn on your video camera. You'll be able to see us. We'll be able to see you. It makes it much more personal. Honestly, most of the business meetings I have now are done by Zoom. It's just a nice way to facilitate more closely approximate an in-person meeting. So I'm very excited to see many of you. I think at this point, we've got about 14 people signed up, which is awesome. Would love to see even more of you. Even if you're not able to make it, sign up. We're only doing the video. We're only making that available to people who register. The audio at some point will release as a podcast. But if you do want the video, if you want the more detailed notes on this one, sign up. You'll get an email of that copy, even if you can't attend. And honestly, very curious to see how this format goes over. If we get a little bit more traction, we'll do more things like this. But again, going along with what I shared after our Beyond the Uniform team meeting a few weeks ago, really wanting to just kind of focus on things that add value to our community and where our audience is pulling us in that direction. So no pressure. If this type of concept appeals to you, register. If not, it's just a clear indicator that we should put our energy elsewhere. I also wanted to share, if you did not listen to the most recent episode, that's Thursday, June 13th's episode with Billy Hurley, definitely check it out. I just keep coming back to this one. I admire Billy. He went from the Navy to become a PGA professional golfer. You'll see him in the cover photo for that episode accepting an award in front of Tiger Woods, which is just wild. It's not, you know, I have no aspirations. I'd never had aspirations to go into professional sports. It's not about that as much as it is just about someone achieving excellence. And I think Billy's a very humble guy, but he's got some lessons that are universally applicable to one's career. So check that episode out if you haven't had a chance. It's one that would bear listening to multiple times. So the bulk of what I wanted to talk about for the next 4 points is the week that I've had. I've had 4 interviews for Beyond the Uniform, which is a little bit rare. Sometimes we go in these fits and starts. So this was a more active week than usual. And these episodes won't air until actually July. Sometimes we get out like 2 months in advance, which is really cumbersome, but we're staying in sync more right now, where we're recording episodes maybe just 3 to 6 weeks before they go live. But it's so exciting to think about. I mean, I'm first of all grateful to be able to do this. The quality of guests we're having in the show just continues to increase. And I'm also grateful Steve Bain has been taking the charge on putting these together. I'm grateful to all of you who shared feedback. Many of these episodes are directly related to feedback we received from the community. And so it's just great to have that feedback loop going so we can make sure we're adding value where you need it. But the first interview I wanted to talk about is with Maggie Neal. And Maggie was actually a professor that I had while at business school at Stanford. And she has taught negotiations for over 30 years. She is an expert on the subject. She's written multiple books, over 70 different articles. You'll see her in Fortune, Forbes, Inc., all sorts of crazy publications. This is more of a skills-based episode, and by that I mean Maggie is not a veteran herself, but I reached out and said, look, negotiations is something that we don't really get experience with in the military. Some of you may, but I'm suspecting that's maybe, I don't know, hostage negotiation or something just wildly different than you would experience in the traditional business setting. And on top of that, I pointed out to her that many guests on the show have talked about how they have difficulty in an interview or in a negotiation advocating for themselves when they come from a background of selflessness, of advocating for subordinates or teams, but not for themselves, using we, not I, all sorts of things down that path. And so I wanted to get her extremely expert advice on a topic that I think is going to benefit the entire community. And I want to make a quick plug on this. If this is exciting to you, or when you listen to this episode, if this is helpful, please let us know. And let us know what other topics to cover. And it does energize me to think about finding other world-class experts like Maggie to take deeper dives on subject material that will be helpful to the community, regardless of your individual place in your career right now or career aspirations, industries, functions, etc. So what I love about Maggie, I mean, she's obviously a world-renowned instructor, so she's great at teaching. But what struck me is we start off and she just dispels the thought that what most people think of negotiations is incorrect. Most people view it as adversarial, as zero sum, as I will win or lose. And she goes through in granular detail why that mindset will undermine your success in a negotiation. And we go through things about creativity, collaboration, homework, understanding your needs, their needs, and specific milestones you need to achieve in figuring out your needs. And it strikes me as like how much gamesmanship is involved in this process. We talk about salary negotiations and a lot of misconceptions there as well. Some of you had sent in questions and we cover some of those in the interview. But it was also interesting because when I was listening to her on the show, this is my perspective of veterans and why they face challenges in negotiations. She was laughing because she's found the exact same thing for her work with women in business. And there were some parallels there that were really interesting. So Maggie Neal's episode, let me actually pull this up. When is that coming out? Quick plug, we use this product called Airtable, which is incredible. I won't try to explain it right now, but it will blow your mind if you're into spreadsheets. It's it's a startup that's raised a ton of money in their very impressive technology. So I'm pulling up Airtable as we speak. Okay, July 15th, that one's coming out. I'll go into a little bit more of a deeper dive on the sneak preview towards the end of the month, covering the episodes for July. So that was awesome. And then Preston Pish, dude, this guy is incredible. So Preston, he graduated in 2003 from West Point. And he runs on the side, he runs one of iTunes' number one podcast. It's called The Investor Podcast, or We Study Billionaires. What a great title. And he's met with Tony Robbins. They've gone into detail about Oprah and Jeff Bezos and all sorts of great things, like very, very high quality content. And at the same time, he has also published multiple books on Amazon. I think he's ranked right now number 35 of all business authors on Amazon, which is wild. And to make this even more impressive, he is still serving on active duty. He's got four kids. And it was really compelling to hear his story. I'm still sorting through this. I had a massive technology backfire, and this is like just shameful for me. I'm like, this guy is like running a podcast, the quality of which I aspire to, and then it's like the one interview where I'm like just botching everything. So a little egg on my face from that one. But what one thing that kind of sticks out to me right now with that interview is there's a lot in that talk about giving and generosity. And the story that stands out to me is how he met his co-founder for his podcast. And he was halfway through writing a book and basically just met this guy and liked him and said, hey, why don't we just co-author this book and then do this podcast together? And I don't think that would have been my reaction. I think I would be like, screw that. I've spent so much time on this book. It's mine. I want the full credit. And that wasn't his approach. And I think that's consistently, he's just kind of putting himself out there, taking risks, being generous, and it's worked in his favor. And I think there's a lot to learn there. But I also love it because he talks about how he failed a writing exam at West Point. It was never his strength. And then when he was in Afghanistan and he had a lot of time on his hands, he thought, I want to get better at writing, so I'm just going to start writing a book. And that was the first book he published. It was about West Point. It got him on the Colbert Report. So just kind of cool to see. Don't think that you have to be great at something to become great at something. Like, you can start just not doing well and learn and grow. Man, I'm apologizing. I had an app called Slack open. I use it to communicate with colleagues. And you may have heard that sound in the background. It was my desktop notifying me. So I shut that down. And then I'm getting these phone notifications. It's a reminder of how many distractions we have in our lives. And personally, I believe it's like a struggle to try and fight those distractions, to try to be more focused and more present. So apologies for that. So that's Preston Pysh. That's coming out in July as well. Last night, I chatted with Kirk Windmuller. Oh, one other thing on Preston, it was just kind of cool. I mean, I did this thing at like 8 o'clock my time, which is not normal. I typically do these things during lunch. And I did it at 8 p.m. because it was literally like he wanted to be able to put his kids down and then do the interview. And I think that's also representative of what I was learning from Preston is, you know, he does a lot, but I think that there's a lot of meticulousness he brings to be able to do that. I'm thinking of the book Extreme Ownership with Jocko Willink and Leif Hannaford. Hannaford, I think it is. They write about how discipline equals freedom. And that's what I thought of with Preston, like the priorities of like, I'll do this podcast, but I'm going to prioritize my kids first. I'm going to take care of my families first. And he talks about that too, serving on active duty, where it's like, even though his podcast is world renowned, his job on active duty comes first. And if push comes to shove, he's going to be showing up for that and not showing up for his podcast, which I think is great to have that rigorous prioritization. Yesterday, I had a conversation with Kirk Windmuller. Special thanks to Chris Pisani on that, a longtime listener of Beyond the Uniform and collaborator. He had sent me on LinkedIn a PDF that was exceptionally detailed about the transition process and timing. And I was like, man, who put this together? And it turns out that Kirk Windmuller put that together. He transitioned as an 05 and after 22 years and did not have an enjoyable transition process, was very overwhelmed, made a lot of mistakes. And I think it's admirable that then he goes and says, okay, I'm going to figure this out so that others don't make the same mistake. I thought it was a very potent example of service. And so he works at Lockheed Martin. We talk a little bit about Lockheed Martin. He works as a, forgetting his exact title, but he talks about the work he does as an analyst there. And but we talk a lot about the transition process. It's extremely tactical and a level that I think is deeper than we've gone on the show before. So a lot of reasons to be excited about that one. And then Steve Cannon I chatted with on Monday. Steve's pretty incredible. He was the CEO of Mercedes-Benz USA. My father is such a Mercedes fanatic, and so it was incredible to talk to him, but very humble as well, and talked about the serendipity that led to that role. He talks about his path there. We talk a lot about leadership. There's a great video that I called out last week on leadership that's Steve Cannon's. And but one of the things that strikes me is at the end of our conversation, he said in that words of wisdom section, he talks about how everything good in his life has come when he's out of his comfort zone. And I have found that as well, that when I am, I always think of rock climbing on this, when you reach for a handhold and your legs are shaking, or you've got that feeling in your stomach, like you're really uncomfortable. You're really experiencing a lot of fear, potential loss, a lot of uncertainty. You're out of your comfort zone. Academically, I believe they refer to it as the zone of proximal development, where you're not terrified. It's not like I'm on Half Dome, fearful for my life, but I'm in an area where it's beyond my immediate skill set. And I appreciated him saying that because I think his story illustrates that. He's continuously getting out of his comfort zone. He's continuously doing things that make him a little squeamish. If you've listened to Tony Robbins, I like he talks about the sense I get from him is it's almost like you step into these situations because you know it will call you to rise to be a better person. It's almost like reaching for things just out of your grasp because you know it will make you stronger. And I've experienced this. I've been doing a lot of consulting work, and I've been consciously doing this of applying to and accepting projects where I'm not certain that I can deliver on it, that it might be just out of my reach. And I have a lot of fear of failure with that. I have a lot of fear of not being accepted with that. And yet I'm beginning to trust my intuition and knowing that I'll be able to learn what I need to learn, knowing I'll be able to rise to the occasion, and also not wanting to play in the kiddie pool, not wanting to play in the shallow end where it's easy and comfortable and warm, wanting to deepen my skill sets, wanting to sharpen my abilities. And one really effective way to do that, though it's not pleasurable, is to get out of your comfort zone. So Steve Cannon, tons to learn there. That'll be coming out in July as well. So that's the business portion. And I wanted to just kind of share one random thought on personal life. As some of you know, I'm doing a year-long men's group program. It's with a guy named John Wineland. I have a lot of respect for him. If you're curious about that, I've recorded an episode on men's groups. And on the previous Saturday, Behind the Beyond the Form interviews, I've sprinkled bits of that in. But if you were to Google John Wineland, I'm sure you'll find a lot of his talks on YouTube. I find him a very straight shooting, very honest instructor. And I've learned a lot from him. But we do, every other week, as part of this year-long program, we do a two-hour Zoom video call where the 50 men in the program and John get together, and we do some sort of exercise together. We do some sort of teaching together and discussion. And the one that we had yesterday, one of the topics that we were covering was integrity. And it was interesting to me because I think having gone to the Naval Academy, having served in the Navy, I have a lot of strong feelings about integrity. And generally for me, that's often about doing what I'm saying I'm going to do, or integrity is some aspect of doing the right thing when no one's looking. There's various definitions that I've borrowed from people along the way. And one of the things we talked about is an alternate view of integrity, And I'm just putting this in my own words, but what I took away from it is this sense of alignment, integrity in every moment. Am I breathing deeply? Am I standing straight? Am I connected to my deepest self, my deepest purpose? Am I present? Am I fully present in this moment? That's an alternate version of integrity that is starting to hold meaning for me. And he borrowed from a program called Landmark. I've talked about that on another episode. Landmark Forum are these weekend-long events that are, I have done one of them and really enjoyed it. It's kind of a way of getting out of your comfort zone, challenging assumptions, and finding blind spots in your life. It will definitely put you out of your comfort zone. So that's one thing to check out, the Landmark Forum. But one of the things that he shared from the Landmark was this view that we're always out of integrity. There's always something in our life that is not in integrity. And that's somewhat difficult for me to hear because I think I take integrity very seriously. It's like a credible accusation to say that someone doesn't have integrity. And it's something I strive towards. But to acknowledge, in this viewpoint at least, that, hey, you're actually never fully in integrity. There's something in your life that is not lined correctly, to me was a little bit revolutionary. And this what we talked about yesterday was not struggling to try to do everything, right? I think that for me gets me in the state of exhaustion or overwhelm. But the power of acknowledging when we're out of integrity and being aware of it. And I'll give you some specific examples. But what we talked about is how for most of us, when we're out of integrity, we feel that drag in our life. We feel that friction and that burden. And that burden can be lifted by being honest, by accepting that we are out of integrity, by acknowledging it. And in many cases, taking action to set that right, which again might not be accomplishing what we said, but doing some action to correct that. And I'm actually doing a process. It's starting this week, so I can't really share a lot about it, but we're doing what we're calling an integrity checklist. We're paired up with one other man in the group, and we're holding each other accountable on a weekly basis. We actually made a list. It was literally a 5-minute exercise. We said, okay, when it comes to your purpose in life, when it comes to your intimate relationships, when it comes to your relationship to yourself, and when it comes to your friends and other relationships, just list for each of those categories three areas in which you're out of integrity. And it should be no surprise, it did not take long for all of us within 5 minutes to come up with those 12 different items where we're out of integrity. And honestly, if I'd had 10 minutes, I probably could have come up with 50. And so, you know, things for me that came up was feeling this burden, feeling this drag in my life around fitness. I kind of informally set this goal for myself that I want to run another marathon towards the end of the year, and I have not been training appropriately. And I noticed the guilt, even though this was kind of this informal thing that I haven't even talked about with anyone, but I just kind of said to myself, I feel this guilt every day that I'm not doing that. And I'm in the process of thinking about what to do there. But as an example, in this version of integrity, this definition, it's not about me saying like, all right, screw it, I'm going to buckle down and I'm going to get my shit together and I'm going to start training for this marathon. That may be the right answer. But I think at a minimum, you know, like right now, at least what comes up for me is, you know what? I said I was going to do that to myself. And the truth of my situation is I've got a 4-month-old son. I've got a wife to support. I've got our house. That's my world right now. And as much as I would love to take on this physical challenge, it's just not an appropriate commitment for me to make in my life right now. It's my priorities need to come first, and right now those will often come at the exclusion of this other aspiration. But I feel, you know, honestly, I feel an incredible relief just being honest about that. It's almost like being in knots because I'm like, not in alignment. I'm not in integrity on that. I'm not doing something that I told myself I would do, and it grates. It's like that pebble in your shoe that starts to blister. But by acknowledging that and being honest and giving that room to breathe, I at least feel some relief around that. And that's, you know, another area of integrity for me is just then about fitness in general, where I'm not exercising like I want to be. And so I'm thinking through what to do there. And that most likely is going to be me redefining what fitness looks like right now. And maybe that's saying, hey, every day I'm committed to 20 minutes of activity. And that can be doing pull-ups in my home or going for a walk with my son Bodhi or going for a run or going for a bike ride, but giving myself more flexibility in what that looks like, but also being really deliberate in what I'm willing to commit to right now. So that's just one thing on my mind about integrity. I'll share more if it's of interest as we go through this integrity checklist, but there was something that kind of resonated with me about this view of integrity and realizing the laundry list of items that weigh on me. And it makes me feel like each of them is just a few ounces, but together they become this monolithic weight. And the freedom and enjoyment that can come. And it's not, you know, to me, it's not about shirking these responsibilities. It's about being honest. It's about saying, hey, you know what? I said yes to that when I should have said no. That's something I do a ton of. And one of the things I'm realizing is like, okay, by taking accountability for that, by being honest about all the areas in my life where I've said yes, if I really would have just given myself a second and felt what I really needed and what my priorities really were, I would have said no to that. And so I imagine with this integrity checklist, quite a lot's going to be going through and cleaning that up and calling up people and saying like, hey, you know what? I said I was going to do this. I'm thinking specifically, I had told my friends I wanted to do this rock climbing trip again this year. And one of my actions is I want to reach out to them and just say, hey, guys, this is what's going on in my life. I need to be a lot more flexible right now. I'd love to commit to this, but you know, I need to prioritize my family. And that means a lot less structure, a lot less planning than I'm used to, but that's what's right for me right now. And that's what I'm prioritizing. And so I can't commit to this rock climbing trip. If it's okay for me to join last minute, great. If that doesn't work, I'm willing to be excluded from this, but that's where I'm at now. And that's something that feels very liberating for me. And so sharing that with you in case that helps, feel free to send feedback, justin@beyonduniform.org, the contact form on our page, LinkedIn, you can connect with me as well. Hope this helps. We'll be back Monday and Thursday. We've got incredible episodes throughout June, every Monday and Thursday, and coming up in July, it just keeps on getting better. So stay tuned. The wild ride continues. Have a great weekend.